Everyone. Glad to see everyone enlivened by the miracle molecule caffeine. I'm Brian Penpraise. I'm from Pomona College, and I'm on loan this year at the Yale and U.S. College in Singapore, and I'm moderating this panel on transcending silos in colleges and universities. And I wanted to just say a couple of things before I turn over to our amazing panel this essential topic for us to consider and maybe find answers to. This is really kind of where the rubber meets the road, and I'll apologize in advance for mixing metaphors, both aeronautic, automotive, and culinary, as well as astronomical. And this is something I may be a symptom of the jet lag, I'm not sure, but I'll just start a little bit by talking some about how important this is. And we saw in our last session how disciplinary identities flared up. And in many cases, we have very strong identities to our departments, to our professional societies, that, if anything, transcend any effort to be interdisciplinary, to fuse our talents to work synergistically. So when you talk about transcending silos, we have to overcome those very strong allegiances and affiliations, the things that really define us as professionals, the things that allow us to do scholarship, to find meaning in the world, to actually discover things. There's a reason for disciplinary, as they call silos, and they're necessary, but they can also, maybe if not be transcended, can be brought together for good purposes. And here's where I'm going to mash a few other metaphors, if you will. The silo, I think, is not an adequate term for this. If you think about a silo, and I'm not really from an agricultural place, I apologize for this, but as I understand it, I read about these things. We in Los Angeles read about such things. Also, snow is another thing we read about. A silo is a large cylindrical thing for, I think, storing grain. And it really doesn't describe the nature of an academic department or a field. I think, you know, culture, and we'll hear some from our panelists about disciplinary culture. Culture is a better metaphor, and culture is defined by a lot of different things, and Susan and the others will talk about this. It has vocabulary, it has shared values, it has other things. In some cases, it has a cuisine. So I might want to talk in terms of a culture where, if you think of interdisciplinary program as maybe a meal that's being put together, if it's being done interdisciplinarily, it can be either a potluck, where everyone just kind of brings something and we hope it works out, or it can actually be a team effort where everyone's kind of in the kitchen together and applying their strengths together. To mix up the astronomical metaphor, I also like to think of this problem in terms of surface gravity. And as we know, any planet has a certain combination of mass and radius that pulls everyone toward the center. Young faculty feel the surface gravity of their department. They're in orbit, if you will, of that department. All of the incentives for their advancement comes from that department. It's really not fair to ask them to transcend that force, which enables them to publish and proceed professionally. But if you think of the gravitational analogy, there are happy places in the universe where the gravity of multiple celestial objects can balance each other out in a happy, wonderful way. So, for example, you can have binary stars that share planets that orbit around both. Or you have what's known as a Lagrange point, where the gravity of two different objects create what is called a metastable equilibrium. Something can sit there not quite bound by either one. And I think what we have to do, and hopefully the panelists will start talking about this, is find ways to create those spaces where the various gravities can be kind of counterbalanced, and where the faculty and others working on interdisciplinary projects can have the space to be free to work together. And there are a lot of these different types of spaces which I think we'll have to identify, explore, and exploit. Something like vacant lots in a academic space, places that aren't quite under as much contention, maybe co-curricular programs, maybe summer programs, maybe field programs, maybe international programs. Some of these could be good places to begin this kind of interdisciplinary work. And in addition, a metastable state, of course, can easily be disrupted. So there have to be ways to incentivize that collaboration, sort of bind it all together. So those are a few ways I thought I might kind of kick off our discussion. I wanted to finish with two other astronomical or scientific type terms that I think apply here. Because we're being funded by NSF, and we all know this wonderful term, synergistic activities. If you really think about synergy being kind of the combination of two producing something greater than that sum of the parts. That's a wonderful goal, and I think that's what our interdisciplinary program should strive for. And another word which I like that applies here, I think, from an astronomical context, is actually also the ultimate Scrabble word. It's syzygy. If you ever try that in Scrabble, you're going to get 80 points. Syzygy is an alignment of astronomical objects. A conjunction or eclipse is a syzygy. And there are cases where disciplinary alignments might exist. And we've heard some examples so far of these grand problems, other issues that our society faces. And those can bring into alignment multiple of our disciplines to work together on these problems. So I'll just start out with that, and I'll then let our panelists pick up this topic of transcending silos. And we're going to proceed in the order that they're seated here. We have a wonderful panel that includes Judd King from UC Berkeley, Domenico Grasso from University of Delaware, Susan Silby from MIT, and Scott Thomas from the Claremont Graduate University. And we'll just let them begin. So I'll hand